Mike Hogan from TSN 1050 in Toronto will be covering the draft, but he'll also be given a privy access to the Argos War Room tonight. He joins us now. Mike, welcome back to the show. How are you, man?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm excellent. So now, are you getting like unlimited access here in the War Room? How's it work?
This will be the third year I've done this and written the article for TSN.ca. I am at the table.
Okay.
Where they make the decisions. I'm sitting with Barker, Milanovic, and the scouts and the assistant coaches, and I'm sitting there. I'm the fly on the wall and taking down notes and writing about it to let people know whether or not Barker's telling the truth when he comes in and says, oh, we never thought he'd drop that low in the draft. Because every general manager in every sport says that, and it's been a neat process the last couple of years because I've been able to see that the Argos literally got the guy that they were hoping for.
Yeah, it's always funny because, you know, afterwards, oh, you know, that guy was number one on our board. And I guess maybe you'll get to tell us for sure. Well, actually, no, it wasn't. That's not who you had first on your board. I would love that to come up. Well, actually, no, he was ranked sixth on their board and they got him sixth. Right? That would be perfect.
But it is a neat process. I mean, it's just anybody who's done a fantasy draft, whether it be football or hockey or baseball or whatever, goes through the process of ranking players and, okay, should I take them here or should I wait around? If I wait around, maybe I won't get them. And there's that decision. This is just a fantasy draft for real life. And, you know, guys' careers are made or are broken by this night, whether it be players, whether it be general managers, whether it be scouts. If you do well on this night, the odds are your team is going to do well. If you blow it tonight, it can really hurt you because your Canadian depth, your Canadian starters, you miss out on a couple of this year. You have to go through free agency. That hurts you on the salary cap. There are major ramifications if you get this wrong tonight. So I know that for a lot of sports fans, they say, CFL draft, whatever. It's a really important night, and maybe more so because of the characteristics of the CFL where if you don't have Canadian talent, you're pooched.
This draft, it's funny. Wally Bono said he thinks it might be the best draft in 10 years. Mike, you've covered the league for a long time. Do you agree with that statement?
Well, it could be, and it might not be. The athletes are there, some of whom are getting look-sees in the NFL. Some have already signed deals in the NFL. And then it's offensive linemen. And, you know, Barker said yesterday in a conference call that general manager of the Argos, Jim Barker, he said that seven of the top eight draft picks may be offensive linemen. And I don't know about you, but when I go to watch a college game, the offensive lineman is, unless there's a guy who's really highly rated, is probably the last guy I'm going to look at. I'll watch them as a group, but I'm not going to sit there and see what his punch is like or see what his first step is like. I'm not into the minutiae of the offensive lineman as I am some of the other positions. So offensive linemen to me are a pretty big mystery, like I think they are to most football fans. But that said, especially in the CFL where teams seem to load up on Canadian talent, it's a very, very important position. So if you can get 10 guys in this draft who play 5 to 10 or more years in the CFL, this becomes a spectacular draft. But are there the sexy non-offensive lineman position players in this draft who are going to go in the first round? Probably not.
Who is the biggest playmaker in your eyes potentially in this year's draft?
Wow. The guy that I have seen and I can talk about firsthand is a guy named Levi Noel, who is a Toronto kid who played for the University of Toronto. And then, well, let's just say it didn't work out academically. He went and he played in the Ontario Varsity Football League. And he has size, he has speed, he has hands. And now it's a question of whether or not he can take those talents or find them. And I don't know what his route running is like, per se, at the pro level. He doesn't even know that. That's the guy that I'm thinking of. There's another kid in the OUA named Doug Corby, who's a wide receiver from Queens. And he just got a look-see with the New York Giants. He's going to be in the CFL this year for sure. So there's another guy. So if you're looking at receivers, I can talk to certainly the two guys that I've both seen play live, and both of those guys are pretty good. Neither one have first-round talent, but they could be a guy that you pick in the second or third round that all of a sudden you look back 5 years from now and say, why the hell didn't that guy go in the first or second round?
Mike Hogan joins us from TSN 1050 in Toronto. And Mike, now you've been a long fan of football, college, CIS, NFL, and CFL. So for you, I'm sure it's pretty exciting to get in to go in the war room and kind of figure out what goes on with it. You know, the more so kind of the talks involving potential trades, right? I think to me, that's one of the more interesting thing is to get to hear those conversations.
Yeah, and you know, I don't remember any last year. There were a couple of discussions on whether or not they should trade up to get a couple of guys who were on the board that they were liking. And ironically, they didn't need to make the trade because they got both Darryl Watt and Cam Walker anyway. So they both kind of fell down in the draft to them. So they got lucky that way. The year before, Barker had told me about an hour before the draft, 2 hours before the draft, that they had made a trade with the Eskimos. It was the one to get the third overall pick in the draft that turned into Anthony Coombs. Tony Washington went your way as well in that trade. And he said that we're not going to tell the league yet. We've got the deal in place, but we don't want to let any other team know that we're moving up because we don't want another team to trade and move ahead of us. No team did. They ended up getting Coombs third overall. And then the phone started ringing. And Barker was taking calls from other GMs and looking at his BlackBerry and looking at messages from other general managers who wanted to trade for Anthony Coombs. So there was that giant relief in the room when Coombs dropped to the third position. And I can't tell you, he was the number one player on their draft board. So when he fell to three, they were elated, and then the phone started ringing off the hook. So that was interesting to be in there, just to see that the reaction was very quick from other general managers who were hoping that maybe Coombs would drop a little bit lower in the first round and didn't. So to me, that was an eye-opener, that as soon as that draft pick was made, within a minute, there were offers on the table for Anthony Coombs.
Yeah, which, you know, it's interesting how that plays out. Now, looking at the league in itself, we had Len Rhodes on, and he's talked about wanting to move the season up. Do you have an appetite for that out in Eastern Canada? Do you think it's something that ever happens?
I don't know if it'll ever happen or not. I wouldn't mind it, only because I think everybody hates seeing, on one hand, you love to sit in the comfort of your couch or on your couch and watch one of those classic snow bowl, ice bowl games on TV. For the people on the stands, maybe not so much. Then there's the other half of me that thinks I hate seeing good teams have to battle bad weather to decide a championship, whether it be a Grey Cup, whether it be a divisional final. So I really am split on this, but the football is better when it's warmer. I don't think anybody can argue about that. And boy, you know, you guys have had playoff games out there where it's just been almost unbearable to sit in the stands at Commonwealth. And, you know, you get that also in Regina. You get that in Winnipeg. You get that in Calgary, to a lesser degree back in the East, although, you know, there have been some pretty cold games back here as well. I'd just rather see teams that are built to play go out and be able to fulfill that sort of mandate to put your best guys on the field, and the best team on any given Sunday is going to win, or Saturday. I'm really split on that, and I hate sort of waffling because I know our business is about opinions, but there's some of it I like, and there's some of it I really don't like. So if you kind of force me to have a vote, I would say move it up a week or two. That wouldn't bother me at all. I like watching the games on TV if it's in bad weather because there's added drama, but boy, it really sucks to be a player in those circumstances and have a championship potentially decided by snow and wind and ice.
It's very true. You know, last year the weather obviously wasn't a factor whatsoever. Yeah. Even in at the Grey Cup of Winnipeg, surprisingly, wasn't nearly as bad as it should have been.
But let's go back and revisit the Grey Cup of Saskatchewan.
Oh, I agree.
2013. Yeah. Where guys from Hamilton got off the plane the next day, they went to practice and said, "Hey, I'm going to man up. I'm going to practice in a t-shirt." And a handful of them got frostbite. It was minus 30 all week long until game day. If that game had been played on Thursday instead of Sunday, I do not know how they would have played the game. I would have thought it would have been dangerous to sit in the stands, and it would not have been a very good football game, full stop. That's the kind of thing that I'm worried about down the road, that, you know, like the 1991 Grey Cup, the Rocket Ismail, somebody threw a can of beer at him where it was, what, 19 degrees below zero on game day. I just don't see the point. You know, you've got the opportunity to move it up. It's still not going to be perfect, but sometimes in November, that week is a big difference.
How have Toronto fans responded to the new stadium for the Argos this year?
Those who are into the CFL already are just giddy. Some are going to miss the cozy comforts of the roof for the rain days, but I think for the most part, everybody knows that the Rogers Center was too damn big. The owners didn't like the Canadian Football League and went out of their way to try and make the schedule as inconvenient as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a little bit more normalcy. It's returning to basically the site of the old CNE where the Argos played and the Blue Jays played previous to the Sky Dome. And, you know, there's a big fair, the Canadian National Exhibition, that runs there. They're going to schedule a couple of games during that so people can, I would assume, get into the X with a ticket and then just sort of saunter over it. It really was a popular feature back in the day, and I think that they're really hoping that that can sort of catch on again. Now it's just getting the peripheral CFL fan or the football fan that likes the NFL and doesn't like the CFL, which is a pretty good number in this city. I'm hoping that they go. I'm hoping that they catch on and realize that good football and a fun atmosphere is good football and a fun atmosphere, whether it's three down or four down. And I'm hoping this does revitalize the game and at least gives the Argos a fighting chance in this market. It's tougher this year, maybe not as bad as last year with Blue Jay Mania hitting, but the Jays are still by far the more popular team in this city, and there's some tough sledding for the Argonauts. They're going to have to win. They're going to have to be entertaining on the field. They're going to have to be, more importantly, they're going to have to be entertaining at the stand, at the stadium, in the stands. That's more important to this team this year. So if they can get a good combination of a decent football team on the field and be able to hit it out of the park as far as game day operations go, I think there's a really good chance that you can see a resurgence of football in this market. I don't know how popular, but certainly more popular than it's been the last few years. And sadly, it hasn't been very popular.
Now, I was looking at their home schedule, Mike, and they've still got a few Wednesday games. Is that something like in the future, do you think they'll ever get to a point where they can play predominantly on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
The Wednesday games are actually intentional.
Okay.
One is because of the CNE, so you can get that family thing going.
Okay.
The other is on a day after the Major League All-Star game. There is nothing else going on in sports anywhere on the continent that day.
Okay.
The Argos have the schedule to themselves. So it's something some people in this market have talked about for a long time. If you're going to have a midweek game, why not do it on the Wednesday? They will get all of the media attention, unless, of course, the Leafs go and hire another coach like they did last year when they moved to BMO.
Mike, enjoy being in the war room and enjoy the draft tonight. We'll talk to you again soon.
I hope so. Always a pleasure. Thanks, Jason.